between the eve of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur on one hand, and then the Shacharit, and of course for Yom Kippur, Mincha and Ne'ilah. So there are three sections there in the paper, and the idea is to give you some kind of integrated information which will tell you something about music, but also about the relationship of the music to the particular services. And from that point of view, I inserted some liturgical information which I thought would be valuable in order to understand what the idea of the Nusach is. So again, I want to emphasize that the Nusach for the evening and the day are different, and that each of these have their own rules and the way that they are done. You already noticed that Nusach that you have with great emphasis on the Ma'arif service is lesser emphasis on in the Shacharit service in certain section for the festivals, for the three pilgrimage festivals. However, in the high holidays, things are becoming very, very distinct and very, very important for all. Thank you. For all the services, for each services separately. So, what we are going to do is to go first about the evenings, the entire evening service as a unit, and that will include the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur services, and that will enable us to understand more how the structure is, of course, with the differences between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So, first of all, we need to talk about preliminary services, or preliminary or introductions to the services. The introductory prayers are important in the Orthodox as well as in the liberal, but in the liberal synagogues, some introductions to the service became in a way more meaningful to impress upon the people the idea of the new year, the idea of what we are looking for in the new year. In Orthodox services, sometimes this is done automatically. We don't need to talk about that. You just go into the service and that's it. So, but still, in the Orthodox service, you still have one introductory service during the entire yearly season, and that is of the holidays, and that is the Kol Nidrei service, which is an introductory service. Please understand that Kabbalat Shabbat is also an introductory service, but it goes for the Shabbatot, not for the Chagim. Of all the Chagim, in the Orthodox Machzor, the only one that has a preliminary service is Yom Kippur, and that is the Kol Nidrei service. Preliminary means how do you translate
in-lay.
It?
More than
yeah. Okay. Shalom, shalom. I will read some of the and explain. In some liberal and reformed traditions, introductory prayers are said before Ma'ariv service of Rosh Hashanah. These usually include an introduction by the rabbi and a declaration of the year for this coming year. This is 5,769. And a psalm is sung by the cantor of the congregation. Not in all services, not in all congregations. Sometimes there is a psalm. In many congregations, the psalm is Esa Enai El Heharim. This should be sung in a psalm melody. Don't sing Esa Enai El Heharim. It was a very nice melody, but not for this occasion. There is another melody which I recommend, and that's a melody found in Ephors Anthology, Volume 1. Esa Enai El Heharim. Me'ayin, me'ayin, yavo ezri, which we'll discuss in our next in the workshop in the coming weekend. Now, I think that David has some remark about the how the introductory prayer is done in the synagogues here, and what it includes from the point of view of declaration of the year.
Okay. If you look in the Machzor, page 9, it starts with the Matovu, and then in the later editions, you note in the white cover or the yellow cover things, which are older, it says in the middle of the page, the Ark was opened in the Chabet, the Ark was slaughtered. Have you heard that? Okay. That is why that's where the introduction comes. It starts in most congregations lighting of the candles, and if you do it correctly, then you have the melody of the Baruch Hu, the Shema, without words, just da 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 ram from the Chazal or something. When the person who's lighting the candles comes up to the front to do it, it gives the mood to the congregation and the feel for the holidays, and then candles, and then you have the matovu and the in what time we do it differently. We start with matovu, then the candles come afterwards, and talk about Amsterdam where it used to be. We do it. The melody for the Baruch Hu, the Shema, just in as a nigun. But when you hear that melody, that immediately captures the holiday mood and people feel it straight away. It's a recognition melody. And if you can do that before the light of the candles, people are in the right mood. And then the prayer? So that's this. And then you have here Psalm 92 and 93 on a Friday evening, and then Baruch Hu. On Yom Kippur, and then we are on page 163. The order is slightly different.
Okay, let me talk about the Yom Kippur in general, and then we'll talk about the Yom Kippur in your congregations.
Right.
Okay? So if you look at the, in the page, page 1, that I gave you, there is the introductory service for Yom Kippur is the Kol Nidre. Halachically, it is not part of the evening service, Maariv, but a separate service. The service contains the following elements. Why is it not a part of the service? Because Kol Nidre is like an act of Beit Din, an act of a court. And as an act of a court, I don't want to belabor that, maybe we'll talk about it more, maybe David wants to talk about that. As an act of the court, it cannot be done on a Shabbat. And Yom Kippur, even if it's not on Shabbat, is Shabbat Shabbaton, and therefore, just as you cannot have a wedding on Shabbat, so can't you have an act of court on Shabbat, and therefore Kol Nidre is not part of the Yom Kippur service, but in many congregations they do it a little bit before the sundown. I don't know what the minhag is here. Yeah.
So do we. We start we start about half an hour before before it's actually dark.
And I read somewhere that that's the reason why Kol Nidre is the only Ma'ariv service where you can wear a talis.
That was the halachic excuse for what people wanted to do anyway, and to feel in a more sacred way. So it was an halachic excuse, because you're not supposed to put on a talit after sundown. There was a good excuse for this to be done.
If you want to read more about halachic excuses for customs that come up, read Albert Ringer's thesis, Rabbinic thesis. It's all about that.
And a Jewish book of wine. And a Jewish book of wine.
So the following are the usual elements that you find in a Kol Nidre service. One is Or Zaruah LaTzadik, a verse from the Psalm, a light is sown unto the righteous. And That is for the processional of the Torah scrolls. The Torah scrolls are taken out. In some congregations, they take only two Torah scrolls out. In other congregations, they take all the Torah scrolls. In some congregations, they take only one. In some Sephardic congregations, they take only one. And there is a processional of the Torah scrolls. And there is, if you do the Or Zeruah, there is a special melody for that, which goes, because the processional is long, it is sung seven times. Or Zeruah LaTzadik Ulishreilev Simcha. Or Zeruah LaTzadik Ulishreilev Simcha. Seven variations of the same melody. By the time you...
So the
question is about the minhag here. What do you do here?
We don't.
You don't do that. Okay, then it's one verse. Oh, Zahu ala tzadik, uli Yisrael, leiv simcha. That's all. And the text is from the Psalms. But you have it in the Psalms of Kabbalah Shabbat. There's one of the Psalms ends... Then we have Bishiva Shel Mala. Bishiva Shel Mala is a kind of disclaimer, or how do you say, a declaration of the court that we, the court, allow the congregation to pray with the people who transgressed.
Bishiva Shel Mala is a hymn of Rechba.
So this is said as a tradition to allow people who were somehow excommunicated or in a way transgressed, to allow them to come back to the synagogue. In many Reform congregations, they objected to that. So it is said in some, and in some others it is not said. They objected because... it is a kind of a presumption on the part of the Beit Din to say that we are allowing you to pray with the transgressors, while we are ourselves feel as we are transgressors. So it's kind of a strange situation in which is problematic, and it was omitted in some prayer books. Then comes the Kol Nidre itself. Now, from the Or Zeruah, I talked to Bishiva Shel Mala, is also a chant that people use. And then comes the Kol Nidre itself, must be sung according to the Ashkenazi traditional melody, no way out of that. Which is considered, of course, erroneously, Misinai, given from to Moses from Sinai. And we're going to talk about the melody again next time.
We have a new composition.
Yeah, a new composition for Kol Nidre in rock style. So there are various variations to this melody. The recommended one is Lewandowski version, which is found in both the Kol Rinah Tefillah and for Chazan and choir in the Todah VeZimra. In Todah VeZimra, it is for choir. Now, if you open Todah VeZimra, and I hope that you will go a little bit through it through the computers, you will see that Lewandowski wrote at least four versions of the Kol Nidre. They are all the same melody, but they were all intended for different congregations with different texts. And I hope that David will talk or Annette, you know, will talk about the Kol Nidre and its and what happened to it during the ages and how the Reform movement treated it. And there were different texts. As a matter of fact, the text that you are using here is not the original text, but it is a Reform version of the text. And why that is so, I think David will have to explain that at another time. In any case, you can find all of the text set by Lewandowski in these books, and we're going to go through them. Then comes Venislach lechol adat b'nei Yisrael. Now I wrote that the recommended melody is that of Lewandowski, but I understand that in your congregations you do a different melody for Venislach. Whatever you do should stay. It's not a must to do Dafka the Lewandowski. Of course, if you wanted to change the melody of Kol Nidre, I would say no. But here there's no real problem. And after that comes the Shehecheyanu. So if you look at in your prayer books, you see on page 163, you have the Kol Nidre in the Reform version of 19th century or early 20th century, I'm not sure when it was written. Then Venislach lechol adat bnei Israel, down at the bottom of the page, Slach la la'avon ha'am hazeh, and Vayomer Adonai salachti kidvarecha. All of these have to be sung, and then comes the Shehecheyanu, which we already discussed. Should be sung, as I'm mistaken. According to traditional melody, it is used for the shofar service. Quite interestingly, it's also used in the reading of the Megillah on Purim. We do not know why that is so. There are all sorts of speculations about that. But in any case, David, could you now explain what we do and what we don't do in the Dutch congregations?
I don't know what happens in the others. Amsterdam, Rotterdam, tradition is that we come in on the diva. Hazan goes to his or her place, and on the bima, the rabbi and the dafas with part of the executive board, stand in front of the aron. The aron is opened. There is an introductory prayer by the rabbi. Then you take out all the sefarim. We take out all the sefarim, I think, except you don't. In front of the open ark, the special introductory prayer, which in my case has a lot of overtones of the classical introductory prayers, but there are some additions and changes to it. What I'm used to, we take out all the sefarim and the paper from the executive chairman and others carry them. We go and stand next to the chazan, and then the Kol Nidre is sung three times. And after Kol Nidre, Venislach and Shehecheyanu, and then we bring the sefarim back and we close the aron. And then you should go straight to the Baruch Hu, or you have the Shabbat psalms in between. What I do on occasion, and what I did in Amsterdam, was I used I used an introductory prayer of some sort in English, because we always have a number of foreign visitors. So, for their sake, to give some feeling for the day, there was an introductory prayer in English. That's how we do it. When you hold the sefer, put it down on the reading table, so it stands there and you hold it. Don't try to stand with it, hold it in your arm the whole time.
It's not possible.
Nee, that's my
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, what I've been doing since 2001, the Twin Towers, the reaction, because that was just Rosh Hashanah. I have been, before we opened the ark, and before the people from the Das Institute come up to Pima, I've been up there and lighting the memorial candle. There is a special candle which burns for the 25 hours on the Bima next to their own. It's a collective Yahrzeit candle. Mm-hmm. And I've been lighting that with a special prayer for people who died. And it's a sort of shortened Yizkor, but with the whole short list of people, but something which is appropriate for what you should remember during the day according to what the light is for. And then we open the ark and there we go.
When the ark is open, it's a tira for the bestuur or for someone else? Who opens the...
This is the carrying the sefarim is for the executive.
Yeah.
That's, and opening the ark could be one of the executive, or it is somebody else of some stature in the congregation. It can also be the regular gabbai or somebody who does it often, that also on this occasion should be doing it. You know, but it's one of the mitzvot for the holidays.
And
ox stays open the whole time. Yes.
Okay.
Ox stays open until they're back. Sefarim back. Ox is open the whole time.
Okay. So let's go on, and we'll talk about the Shabbat cases. If the eve of Rosh Hashanah or the eve of Yom Kippur, or the eve of Yom Kippur, fall on Friday, additional prayers are inserted in the evening service. Some communities, especially Hasidic, the service starts with singing Lecha Dodi according to the regular Shabbat melodies. In most Ashkenazi congregations, however, Lecha Dodi is not sung, but Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat and Adonai Malach are sung according to the regular Shabbat melodies. And we talked about that, and you have it here in the in pages 164 to 166. Ma'ariv service. From Baruch Hu to the end of Chatzit Kaddish on both eves of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Nusach is the traditional Mi-Sinai melody in major. With a few deviations on the 7th degree of the scale, we'll discuss that, the musical part of it. In many congregations, Hashkiveinu is solemnly sung by the cantor and choir. I don't know what your no, that's the Lewandowski Hagen Baden. So
what we do before that is always a problem, but what we do before that Hagen Baden.
First line the rabbi reads and
The rabbi can read, or you can do a musical insert. I will show you how you can do a musical insert for that before the
thank you.
Okay. So we again. The most of the melodies for this prayer, like the Hagen Ba'adeinu by Lewandowski and others, are in the minor mode, and they should be in minor. It's a kind of a prayer, a plea, but the towards the end you go to return to the Nusach, Ufros Aleinu Sukkat Shlomecha Baruch Baruch הפורי סוכת שלום עלינו יעקב או ישראל ועל ירושלים or similar way of doing it, but it should be the traditional melody in the major, like Rosh Hashanah melody, exactly the same way. On Shabbat after Ashkiveinu we insert the Veshamru. This should be sung in the Shabbat melody, but not to a jumpy tune. Veshamru v'nei. No. I will suggest to you a few melodies which are very nice for that. There is a one. Veshamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbat. It fits very well. And there are some other melodies like that. For that you can digress to the minor mode. But then you go back to the major mode for Chatzit Kaddish. Same melody for Chatzi Kaddish. The Amidah on Ma'ariv is silent. In the American congregations, they do a loud Amidah even for the Ma'ariv, but I understand that your minhag is to do it as a silent Amidah. On Rosh Hashanah, the Ma'ariv is followed by Kiddush. Traditionally, at home, this should be chanted according to the Kiddush melody that is sung during the three festivals, and we talked about that. Asher kiddushanu, Asher bachar banu mikolam, veromemanu mikol lashon. This can be done in a synagogue as well. But...
The tucker? Or the tucker? We use tucker a lot. Richard Tucker's, I think.
Oh, Richard Tucker's, sorry. Yeah, I didn't understand. Yeah. Yes. But various beautiful compositions were written to glorify the Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah, or Rosh Hashanah Eve. Some of them contain chants from earlier parts of the service, and some are beautiful and could be used in a synagogue before Elenu. Not to be used on a tucker kind of a thing on at home, or if you have a meal. But in a synagogue, if you do Kiddush in a synagogue for the entire congregation, then it should be very dignified. Needless to say, there is no Kiddush on Yom Kippur Eve. On the eve of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Aleinu is not chanted according to the grand melody.
No.
I mean, on the eve, because some make this mistake. Aleinu leShabayach is reserved for the Musaf of these two holidays. And we're going to talk much more about that, but we already saw it in our service yesterday. So it is sung to the simple Shabbat melody, or whatever melody, Aleinu leShabayach LaAdon HaKol, the congregational melody. The grand melody is reserved for Malchuyot section of the morning service, and before the Avodah, you should add for Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur Eve, the Amidah is followed by a Selichot service with Piyutim, many poems like Iale, etc. These have various melodies, and one is free to choose a melody according to his own taste and according to the tradition of the congregation. One should pay attention to the melody of confessional prayer of Ashamnu and Al-Chet, the way you do it here. There are various traditions about that, but you have to go according to the tradition of the synagogue that you are serving. There are various melodies for Ashamnu. There are traditions in which, for instance, the Chazan sings Ashamnu, the Kahal repeats Ashamnu. The Chazan sings Bagadnu, and the congregation repeats. In other congregations, the whole thing is done in one melody by the cantor and congregation together. So there are various traditions about that, and you have to follow the minhag of your synagogue. Okay. Shacharit for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Although some congregations use special chants for Birchot HaShachar,
We zijn nu op 100.
239. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I should have the phone turned up.
Okay.
So 181. Actually, the confessional begins on 180, at the bottom of 180. Eloheinu ulavoteinu, ana tavo lefanecha tfilateinu ve'al titala mitchilateinu.
When you come to the morning blessings, I've suggested that you just copy the ones from the Shabbat Siddur, the whole list you have in the Shabbat, and use those here.
Yeah.
The order here is different, and there are fewer. Use there what you're used to using otherwise. Yeah.
Also
I just photocopy them and put in your book. Those things.
Okay, so I don't want to go into all the details, but about that. So the Shabbat, in the morning service, it is from the Nusach point of view, the beginning is exactly as the as on Shabbat. Although in some congregations they have special melodies for that, but I don't think that it is a must at all. You rather reserve the important melodies for the continuation. The musical nusach of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur begins with the word. With a word. I'm thinking too much about work when I. With the word Hamelech, as we discussed today, which is usually in printed big letters in the Machzorim. The chant of Hamelech is considered Misinai and is used for all prayers until the end of Tzur Israel. The very ending of each of the Berachot, the Chatimah, is the typical chant which is also used for Amidah. We discussed that. Baruch atanu tam yotzer ha-meorot. All these are sung in the formula, the musical formula of the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. As to the Amidah itself, the first benedictions of the Amidah, Avot and Gvurot, are sung according to another sacred melody. But here there are a great difference. In other words, the melody of the Amidah is sacred, very sacred. But what is the sacred melody is differs from one congregation to another. And there are various traditions. The Central European Nusach is the one that is found in Lewandowski's Kol Rinah Tefillah. And it is found in your recording with some variations. Kedusha can be chanted according to the Shabbat chant. So if you use the Kedusha, Nekadesh Shemcha Ba'olam, you can use Shabbat chant. But the Kedusha of Na'aritzcha has some special melodies for Kevodo, Male Olam, and Mimkomo. These are special melodies, and we're going to learn them and discuss them. Special chants are to be used for the rest of the Amidah, especially for the part that starts with the words Uvchen. We discussed that. Most important are the ending of the Brachot of the Amidah. They have a characteristic short musical formula, and you know that. And they make the high holidays stand out as different from the entire year, the entire Amidot of the entire year. The Torah service is also quite distinct. The beginning can be done in the Shabbat chant, like Enka Mocha can be done in Shabbat chant. Also, any other part, if you have additional verses, in some congregations they have some additional verses for Ava Rachamim, Etiva Vizzoncha Etzion, or some other supplicatory verses before taking the Torah out, they can be done on Shabbat. But when the Torah is taken out of the Ark and appears, say, in the white form, then the Shema must be in the special melody for the High Holidays. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. That is the special melody for the High Holidays. Then for Lecha Adonai Agdula, you can use any regular melody. There's no need to have any special melody, although there's some were composed for the High Holidays. I don't think that it is a necessary. It also burdens the congregation. They want to sing Lecha Adonai, and you give them a new melody for that one. That is not very good. Now, the Aliyot, the Brachot for the Torah, have a special melody, and so has the Torah reading itself. So you know now about the Torah reading itself. The Brachot I will explain, and I will put it on the internet later on. Now, I do not expect everyone who comes up to the Torah to be able to learn these Brachot. But if you have one or two people coming up to the Aliyah that are able to do the Brachot, and you can teach them to do that, that will be very nice. The Haftarah is a regular trope. No special trope of the Haftarah for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. returning the Torah to the Ark, one can use Shabbat melody, but if the High Holy Day is on a weekday, one must remember that the psalm for the processional is the David Mizmor, and that is a psalm, 24. The recommended melody is the one by Louis Klein. It will be on the internet, or if it's already on the internet, I don't know.
We're now on page 347, end of the Shacharit, and then it follows in our book the Yizkor.
Yeah.
Which really should have been reversed in the Torah reading. We don't have it here after the Shacharit. We moved it to before Nila.
See page 5. Jump to page 5. Yizkor service. The traditional time for Yizkor is during the Shacharit service after the Torah reading. However, in many Reform, liberal, and conservative congregations, this service was moved to after Mincha in order to assure that the people will come for the Ne'ilah service at the end of Yom Kippur day. In other words, everybody, the entire congregation, concludes with the Ne'ilah service, and not, people after the Yizkor service, people tend to go home. This was a very clever idea. And so I understand that it's exactly the same way here.
Yes.
You're going to say it. The central prayer is El Malei Rachamim, for which one must learn a chant. And we're going to talk about that. I'll suggest a few chants for you. The chant varies somewhat from one another, but they are all in the same kind of mood. And you need to know that. I want to emphasize that El Malei Rachamim was not part of the Central European tradition until the end of the 19th century, where the influx of Polish Jews into Germany kind of brought this prayer into the German tradition. In southern Germany, they shunned away from it. Impossible to say such a prayer. So, I understand that you people do say El Malei Rachamim, and therefore we were going to learn some melodies for that.
There is a melody, Rachaim, on the website. We also have your Seventh-day Pesach, El Malei Rachamim, on the website.
Yeah, okay, fine. So you can use these, you can use other ones as well. Yeah, but this was a special one because the text is a triple El Malei Rachamim prayer into one. The other texts differ from one prayer book to another, and we'll discuss them. There are psalms, there are all sorts of collections of psalm verses and things like that, and you will see that they are not unanimous. There was no unanimous Yizkor service in any tradition. I mean, rabbis and sometimes committees, prayer committees or chazanim, used to choose the verses that they wanted to sing, and it was very different. So we have to address the Yizkor service according to the verses and according to the prayers that you have in your prayer book.
Yeah, no, not what you have in the prayer book. There is a special booklet for the Yizkor service.
I need to have that.
Yeah, the music and the Hebrew and the music is the same.
All
the text around it.
It's
like with the Avodah, where the Hebrew and the music is the same, but the story around is different.
Okay.
Yes, you should have it. I gave it to him after 2 years ago.
Okay, it doesn't matter, so we'll get it next time.
If you don't have it, let me know.
I sent one to you.
I know I don't have it.
Okay. Now, it is generally good to follow the Lewandowski music whenever it's possible. It has some very beautiful composition, the most beautiful composition, but you need a choir for that. If you have a choir, then the most beautiful composition is Enoshke Chatzir Yamav. Enos ke chatzir yama ketita.
Enos ke chatzir yama.
No, this is another melody.
That's the one I sing.
Okay, so they're also beautiful. But the choral piece by Lewandowski is such that really there are rarely such pieces that you can find. So if you can do that, then fine. And there are very nice melodies like yours.
This is what he sings now. It's originated in choral parody. In Amsterdam, the choir sings it.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, so in congregation without a choir, the chazan has to do it. But it is a choral piece.
Okay. So we'll discuss that in due time about all these pieces. Okay. So now let's go back. After the Torah service, we are in the
Shofar service. 361.
Yeah, we Shofar service of Rosh Hashanah.
Ah, okay.
And page 4 in the handout. And which page is that?
The Shofar service is on page 127.
We discussed that today, so we don't need to go through much of it. The Shofar service of Rosh Hashanah has a distinct melody for the brachot, similar to the ones of the Megillah reading. So Shofar Bloer Tokea is helped by the prompter, which is called in the Sephardic synagogue Matkia, the ones who calls out the names of the Shofar Blast. It should be done with a simple chant, and we had an example of that, so we know about it. Unlike any other day of the year, the blessing of the day, Kedushat Hayom, is divided into three sections called Malchuyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. This we have discussed, and just a summary of that. Malchuyot is about the majesty and supreme reign of God. Therefore, the chants should be in a major, Adonai Malach mode. Zichronot is about God remembering His people. It is soft in idea, and therefore is chanted in a minor. A most important part of Zichronot, I'm sorry, that doesn't have a bullet that shouldn't be there. Of Zichronot is that the text Zacharti Lach, the recommended composition for this is Lewandowski's Ve'al Yedei Avadecha that we sang. And you know about it. And Shofarot is about revelation of God.
Don't tell them there are also others.
Hmm?
Don't tell them that there are also others.
The only one that yes. I didn't tell you that there are some others. I must tell you, one of the gravest sin that the American movement created in their Machzor for Shana Yom Kippur is taking out this text, and I'll never forgive them for it.
Why?
They wanted to shorten it. They have some English inserts and all sorts of things, and
so did the English. It's terrible, the English.
Terrible.
Taking out the German Kiddusha and all the kind of stuff is gone. All the beautiful stuff is gone.
Yeah, right. That's unfortunate. Okay. Shofarot.
They want to shorten Yom Kippur, yes?
Yeah, so. So, in any case, from our point of view, our point of view, what is important is that while the Malchuyot, Alkeine Kavelecha, and so on, are in major, and we'll discuss that next time, and we'll do work with the text of the Malchuyot, is in major, the Zichronot is in minor. But when you go to Shofarot is about revelation of God as associated with the Shofar on Mount Sinai, and the hope for the revelation in Messianic times. Therefore, the music is again in major and is associated with shofar and trumpet calls. This does not mean that we cannot occasionally digress from the above scale of modes. sometimes you want to go into a minor verse, things like that. However, they should be in major, but one is very important. There is a minor, a music in minor at the end of each of these sections, and that is where you have the bracha. Baruch ata Adonai Zocher HaBerit. Okay, so that is in minor. So at the very end, while you have sections in major, the very end must be in minor. On Yom Kippur, the center of the Musaf service is Seder Avodah, as you now know, which describes the temple service and the holy day. A Misinai melody is attached to the words V'HaKohanim. You remember that from Annette's discussion that there is a portion of the Avodah which describes the temple worship. Then, which page is it, please?
I'm just looking.
406.
406.
Yeah.
Start is 404.
We start actually 404. The temple, whatever you are referring to it, in from a liberal point of view, if you want to see it in a more symbolic way, but from the point of Chazanut, the idea is really a nostalgic, a very nostalgic kind of nostalgic melodies that go as if back to the to temple times, or more than that, they suggest our longing for the temple time. Now, it is a little bit contrary to what we believe in the Reform movement, but still, it has this kind of sentiment in them. There are traditional Misinai tunes for V'HaKohanim V'Ha'am, which is the second paragraph of 405, page 405, and repeats three times, and on this occasion, we prostrate ourselves we fall to the ground, and it is not easy to sing the V'HaKohanim while you're doing all these acrobatics, but you have to do that, and we'll have to sing and maybe
if
even
for nothing else, for this piece you need an organ and a good organist, because the organ solos there,
yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah,
so, so sing them.
Yeah,
okay.
Peter, your piece in here,
yeah.
Oh, there's a whole. This is a whole opera on it in itself.
Okay, so this is done three times. And we learn the melodies, the traditional melodies for V'HaKohanim. Yeah. Okay, let's not do it right now. Okay. There are two variants to the melody. There is a Central and the Eastern European. We shall follow the Central European tradition in that. Okay. So, so far, we encapsulated Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur day. In the morning. Any questions so far? Now, I hope that this summary is clearer after all we've been through this weekend, and we know a little bit more about the entire service and the structure and what's happening and so on. But it'll be much clearer, I hope, next weekend.
Look, we have in the Shabbat Siddur, we have marked the each beginning of each bracha in the Amidah, numbered and with a name.
Yeah.
Go through the Machzor, mark the beginnings and the ending. Mark the Chatima of the brachot with a marker, you know, a highlighter, something. You can see the structure. What belongs together? Where does a new thing start? What belongs together? What's in it? It just helps to, doesn't make any difference with the music, but it helps to have a feel for the grips.
Right.
Yeah, when you open it, you just read it.
Yes, and even on each page, And he speaks just mark the number of the bracha, so you can follow the bracha as you go through it, you know, all these 20 pages of it.
I'm sure one of these days.
Schedule, you know.
One of these days when. When David will have nothing else to do, he will produce a new machzor for the.
The new machzor is coming. It'll be another 10 years, but it's coming.
Yeah. Okay. Now on page 5 of my handouts, we're talking a little bit about Mincha and Eilat Yom Kippur. The Mincha service of Yom Kippur has elements from the Shabbat service, such as the Torah service. On the Torah service of the of Mincha is completely like Shabbat and not like the High Holy Days. Even the Torah reading, the Torah then is read in regular, not High Holy Day trope. And as I mentioned, this is considered as a preview, or so to speak, of the coming weeks, the coming thing. And if you look at the Mincha service on Shabbat, the structure, the Mincha service of Shabbat has Torah reading, but the Torah reading is not from the week that we have, the portion of it, but from the next week. It is already a preview, so to speak, of the coming week. Therefore, the Mincha on Yom Kippur, the Torah is read in regular, not High Holy Day trope. But the Amidah should be in the High Holy Day Nusach, and there are special piyutim, and we're going to discuss them, which have special melodies, and we need to know them very well. Where do you do a Yashimcha? Where exactly?
No, I'm not there for. I'm still with the Torah reading before the Mincha. Torah reading comes also before the Mincha service itself, before the Amidah, like we always do here. Begins with the Torah service, and then Mincha comes. Now, if you look in this one, this is...
Which page?
I'm on page 448, really. Normally, you don't have the Haftarah or in the Mincha service. On Yom Kippur, you do.
Yes.
This is Book of Jonah. Wondered, and I never got around to look up, there is a bracha for the Haftarah, and there are four brachot in our old books. There are two brachot after the Haftarah. The last one, Ala Torah v'Alavodah, is missing in the Mincha here.
Yeah.
Why?
In all traditional synagogues, it's
I know. It's always missing. So why is it missing?
Because it's connected to the Musaf.
It's connected.
Well, maybe from an ideological point of view, from a strictly liturgical point of view, Al Torah ve'al Ha'avodah was understood to refer to the Musaf that comes after that. Avodah means worship, worship of the temple, and therefore it looks forward to the Musaf service, and there's no Musaf service there. Therefore.
Okay, fine. I'm just saying that if you do this and you notice, hey, where is the last bracha? It's correct. It shouldn't be there. these are things you say. You suddenly realize, hey, what happened?
But the other two,
the other three brachot which we are used to from the normal Siddur should be there, but the last one is left out. Okay. Then I thought it was first a misprint, or they forgot something or whatever, and then I went looking for it. And
no,
that's correct.
No.
One learns.
Yeah.
Yashimcha, you were saying?
Yeah, various poems are inserted in different machzorim.
Yeah.
And
then we're in
Nila. Okay, some do Yashimcha on. We do in Jerusalem. We do Yashimcha after after the Amidah in Mincha, immediately after the Amidah in Mincha. Some do it in Ne'ilah. I don't know, the Minhag is in Ne'ilah.
If you look in your book, you have some famous ones. On page 478, Anshei Emunah Avadu. Great men of early time, the ones who were our mainstay, the people who built the movement, who built Judaism, they're all gone, poor us. That's a famous one. And you find it quoted on occasion when you give some of the special quotes. On page 484, there is a conversation between death and the soul. And you have on 487 the nice melodies, Kihine Kachomer. Those are the three. Kihine Kachomer is also quoted in the Nila service at one point. These are the three specific few themes that we have only on Yom Kippur Mincha, and these are the three in this book. And Yashimcha comes in.
We'll talk about all the melodies, the traditional melodies for these. There are some traditional. And for some possibilities, what you can do. But it's very important to honor this piyutim and to sing them nicely. I mean, it really is Yashimcha or Mimcha is a big production that you really need to know. Neila service. One of course must know the Portuguese melody for El Nora Lila. El Nora Nalila. Yeah.
That's what you sang in Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem they play, it is the Eastern. El Nora Lila.
This is why. He learned it from our Chazan, isn't it? From the record of our Chazan. I asked him.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, look. That's the Portuguese. Okay, we'll decide what is the tradition here for El Nora Gnalila.
Right at the very beginning of we start with it. So it comes before Ashrei.
The Kaddish of Neila and the first Beracha of the Amidah of Neila have a chant that is Misinai. Okay, that is a must, and it is different from all other Kaddishim, and also this is the only Amidah during the High Holidays that is different from the other all the other Amidah. It's completely different from all other chants of the High Holiday Amidah. One must learn this melody. There are some other inserts during the Amidah that need attention and have small melodic formula, like Tach Lanu Shaar. These need attention, and we're going to discuss them.
543. Tach Lanu Shaar is on page 543.
How do you think Tach Lanu Shaar?
Tach Lanu Shaar.
There are various melodies for that.
We also have on page 537 the so-called Amsterdam Kedusha, which is the German Kedusha, which Americans call the English Kedusha, which we last year didn't work down with the choir for the first time.
But how are you doing it? Are you doing it in Dutch?
In Hebrew.
In Hebrew. You do it in the Hebrew?
Yes.
No, yeah, it's
not.
Yeah, okay.
Not in German.
Because the absolute no translation in 14 years in Amsterdam, the following side. In Amsterdam, the following is from Shabbat, and it's still. Now everyone does that.
That is one of the most magnificent compositions of the Talmud.
I love it. It fits so well to the text.
I've sung it in concerts in German.
I have a recording of it. There's a recording.
Paolo Goren.
The recording is on
the recording is on the thing.
One of the most.
You need to have the music with a marking of the changes in it, because it's really something you have to do with it. It is with the way the choir with it.
But we can do it together, Peter.
But it's not exactly as you sing it on Yom Kippur.
No.
Then you have the majesty with a choir and everybody singing it on Yom Kippur.
Don't have the majesty of the choir.
Yeah, I know, but unfortunately.
And as David said,
it's a great
time you have.
Let me tell you that the only time I was kissed by a German pfarrer, a Protestant, by two of them actually, was when I sang it in Bavaria. There was an international conference of choirs, and I appeared with an Israeli choir, and I sang it. As a special piece, and people were there were Jews there and non-Jews, and was the enthusiasm was amazing for you know that kind of piece. And after that, two pharaohs, Protestant church ministers with their robes and all of that, came to me and kissed me in public for that, and the choir conductor for that piece. I mean, it's an amazing piece.
It is.
And the Americans threw it out of the prayer book on Matt Russell, and John Levi's killed them.
Okay. So, while the beginning of the Amidah has a distinct melody. A distinct melody for the Ne'ilah. The rest of the Ne'ilah, after the Kedusha, it's exactly the same as all the other Amidot on the High Holy Days. So you don't have to learn a special Nusa for that. Yeah, Mechalkel Chaim you can use for the... Mechalkel Chaim is different, but that's before the Ne'ilah.
Before the Kedusha.
After the Kedusha, they are all the same. Of course, you change the words from the Kotveinu to the Chotmeinu. Well, we discussed that, and we'll discuss it more. At the end of the Ne'ilah, there is a grand declaration of the Shema. Now, in most of the congregation, it's done like the Torah service. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu. I don't know how you do it here. If you do it the same way, and then what do you do with Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Lolam Vaed? Is this the same melody or and Adonai Hu Elohim?
Yes.
That we need to discuss.
We do it differently from Lewandowski. We sing the Shema only once. There are no repetitions. Everybody together.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay.
Because there was, according to some Confucius, with the 14 Adnayo Elohims and this kind of thing, all
okay.
double up.
Yeah.
So I said at one point, we see all together, and it's really, after that case, it's majestic.
I see.
Thing, everybody
okay.
together.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that. In many congregations, so we discussed that. So we're going to discuss that. And then there is, I don't know if you do that, the Shana Abba Yerushalayim, in many congregations they do. And there is, in our congregations, in the Israel liberal movement, in some Orthodox, we have a tikva at the very end of the Yom Kippur service, but that's really a different kind of story. And if you the way you're going to hold on to your minhag. Now, before we finish, we're finished with this service. Out of Yom Kippur, in our tradition, we have a short Havdalah service in Jerusalem.
Yeah,
yes, we do. Yes, we do. The last Kaddish,
yeah.
I mean, is the, what we call the Sukkot Kaddish. It's the same Kaddish we use in Sukkot.
Right.
We should do a short Arabic service.
Yes, we have the last. Yes.
Yeah. We do.
And stay alone. You will be alone if you should.
No, I would be alone.
No, but I must tell you, we decided at the Hebrew College, in our synagogue, the Hebrew College, we decided to forgo the Maari service because people don't want to stay for the Maari service, and there is instead of having people are starting moving out, and instead of that we do have an Havdalah service without the Maari service. We have a special Havdalah service in which we bring the children to the Bima. We give them lots of candles to hold for the Havdalah and lots of spices. We do not use a spice box for this Havdalah, but we use herbs that we distribute to the entire kahal. We use lavender or what's the other one?
Rosemary.
Rosemary. Branches of rosemary and lavender, and we distribute to the entire kahal for the Havdalah. Although it's customary not to do Borei Minei B'Samim if it is not Shabbat, we do, at the end of Yom Kippur, we do Borei Minei B'Samim even if it's not Shabbat. And so that people get this kind of lavender and spices, they will go with them from the synagogue. Now, the most difficult moment of the Havdalah is after the fast to drink the cup of wine. It's not pleasant. It's not pleasant to drink from the wine. It's not pleasant. It's hurting.
Make it little, little. Break the fast together, and then during or after the meal, do the Havdalah.
Yeah, we do have a very. We offer the people juice and some cookies and some light things for breaking the fast. We do that.
It's strange.
Yeah.
To start eating while it's still for you Yom Kippur because you haven't had the light yet. It's strange. So you start to meet with Havdalah.
Yeah, no, we do the Havdalah. After the Havdalah, we distribute the food.
I want to point out to you just page 543, 548. Like with in the Musaf, the Abu Da'a, where we have a different one, I have done different texts for the Chabad or the Fortanen, and on 548, it's a much more difficult text. The one Avadnu Me'eretz Torah V'chipazon, we were kicked out of our country because of our sins, and I've done a very different text to fit in between the introductory Hebrew and the end Hebrew. If you're interested in that for services, let me know. We can put the book, please.
Okay.
Okay. And I have bits and pieces also introductions for the Abu Dha and for the Vidui sections also that gives you some kind of mood. And there are other texts which can be useful. I give them to the rabbis also. So, but if you do things on your own, it may be helpful to have it.
Okay. Now we encapsulated for the time being the prayers for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Of course, in the next weekend we'll have much more to go through and get into details and so on and so forth. So you have lots of preparation to do, but before, one thing I omitted on purpose and I did not discuss, and that is there are two services, and I didn't want to confuse you with these services when it came to the Shalosh Regalim. Within the Shalosh Regalim, there are two services which are different from the usual, and this is the service for Tal and for Geshem. The service for the prayers for dew and for rain. For dew, there is a special prayer for on the first day of Pesach. For Geshem, for the rain, there is one on Shmini Atzeret, on Simchat Torah. There is a special prayer of that. And the nusach of these is related to the Neila service. This is why I didn't put it in as part of the part of the Shalosh Regalim, but we're going to discuss them. They are, from some point of view, and we discussed them in our group. So there are some problematic from some point of view. In Simchat Torah, any little prayer that you insert into the service snowballs the service into bigger proportions, and it's a service which is heavy as it is. But we'll discuss all these things about Tal and Geshem in the context of after we discuss the Ne'ilah, we'll discuss these, and I think that they will be clear, and then we'll have the foundations for them. You will have to decide how you're going to use them in your congregations.